Hey, welcome back to another exciting of Extra Features. First, I want to apologize to our guest. Time change always screwed me up, and especially when I've been working AMs, I kind of sleep in a little late. Thank you for waiting for me, Molly Brown.
Thank you. No problem. I mean, I'm not a morning person myself, so I'm amazed you're up this early.
I've been working about getting up at 5 a.m. for work, so it's all good. I got a nice day of sleeping in. I'm all happy.
Oh, brilliant.
How do you create? Like, you are constantly creating.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm just playing with my imaginary friends all the time is what it amounts to. So, you know, for me, lockdown is not really a hardship because of the fact that I'm just sort of doing this sort of thing all the time, and it's something I can do from home. And if nothing else, I think getting more exercise since I've been in lockdown than I ever have for quite some years, because of the fact that I have the great good fortune that I have got a treadmill that I haven't used in years, and I have got a little exercise machine that I haven't used in years. And it's sort of like I thought to myself, this lockdown thing, I'm going to blow up like a balloon. And so I started exercising every day, and suddenly I think I'm healthier than I have been in years. So it's okay for me, though I do feel for the people who are really suffering, you know, people who are not like me. I am an introvert who can turn on the appearance of being an extrovert when the situation demands it, if you know what I mean.
I do. I completely understand what you're saying and everything. I think we all need to exercise more. I think everybody, this is kind of not great with people, but helping people out. And everybody's got to move more and want to move more.
Yeah. I mean, it's because since I started doing animation, I have become less and less physically fit. And in the last 8 weeks, I have actually thought I must make an effort to have some physical activity. And so far, though, I have not lost an ounce. I've never exercised so much, but I haven't lost an ounce.
Hey, that's good. You're still the same place then. You're not getting bigger.
That's the main thing, yeah.
So let's get into your shorts, because we know we always have a good conversation. This is going to last for a while, so we don't want to break our record. So your first one is Auto Lang Toilet Paper. I should really read my handwriting.
Auld Lang, you know, like Auld Lang Syne.
Oh, okay.
Toilet Paper. So that's the tune as well.
So I wanted to bring up COVID-19 just because of the beginning, because your first short is pretty much COVID-19 about.
Yeah. I don't usually do topical because I don't like topical because it goes out of date so quickly. And the two toilet paper ones I did are really out of date already. They went out of date within a few weeks. But at that time, I thought I would never see toilet paper again as long as I lived. And so I did the first one, and then I did the second one about a week later, and I thought, well, you know, they're going to be out of date very soon, but people will remember for a while anyway.
I think we'll remember this for the rest of our lives. Even if it doesn't end for a year, we're going to remember this when we're in our 90s.
Yeah, we're living through something unprecedented. I have never in my life seen anything like the current world situation. It's the sort of thing I've seen enough science fiction films to know about pandemics, you know what I mean? But you don't expect it to actually happen in your lifetime. And here it is, it's our lifetime, and it's happened.
So let's start then. You have a singing toilet paper. So is this what involves you were so happy to find toilet paper and see it on the shelf that it was all happy?
No. What it is, it's the tune that they're singing is Auld Lang Syne, which is what you sing at New Year's Eve to say goodbye to the old world, or the old year, rather. And so basically I had the toilet paper singing Auld Lang Syne as a way of saying goodbye. And And so then they vanished off. And the reason I chose Auld Lang Syne is it's public domain.
Yes. So,
So I just, in GarageBand, I just took the tune of Auld Lang Syne and just had sort of semi-human voices going da 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 da, and then I animated toilet paper rolls on a shelf singing that. This is public on my YouTube channel, so you can actually see what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the people who are listening to this as opposed to you, because I know you've seen it.
Yes.
And then basically they start to vanish. And it was just a very quick thing, which I wasn't even going to bother doing because I thought it was so obvious. But, I figured, oh, well. And then I did another one about a week or so later, which, again, seemed so obvious to me.
We're getting there in a second. I want to discuss a bit more of your animation. Do you take still shots and then animate over them, or you blue screen screen them? Is that how it works?
Well, what I do, I've got different bits of software that I do different things with, so it will vary. So I might take a still photo. In this case, I took a still photo of a pack of toilet paper that we happened to have the great fortune to have in the house. And then I put it in a program where I could add eyes and a mouth to it. So I gave it a face. And then what I did was I duplicated the picture several times over and gave each one a very slightly different pair of eyes and a slightly different mouth. And then I just sort of, stacked them all together. And I have some software that I use. It's basically where you can do lip sync. And so in GarageBand, I made a thing where I had the tune, but I changed it from musical instruments to voices. So it was like male choir or something was the voice I used, and I had them singing Auld Lang Syne, and then I combined the two with the toilet paper characters lip syncing. And then I had a still picture that I had taken of some empty shelves at the local supermarket. And so I put the stack of different toilet paper animations, stacked them up on this picture of blank empty shells. And so then I had them singing. And then at the end, I, with what's called keyframing. Keyframing is just where, when you are using a video editor, you can take a particular image and then you have it start in one place and then it ends in another as you drag it along. And so I did that to have them all flying off the shelf at the end. And then I had the original still photo of just empty shells. So it takes a while to do. These things are very short, but they take ages.
Now, how long does it take you? Like, you correct something comes to you right when we're having this interview, right this second.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you still have another probably 50 minutes with me.
Yeah.
Do you eat first? Do you go right in the creator process, or do you let it breathe for a few days? How does that quite work?
Again, it varies. You know, sometimes all I've got is a very vague idea. Sometimes it's just an idea for a mood or something, you know? And so in that case, I might, if I remember to do so, make a little note so I don't forget it. And then I will sort of sleep on it. And very often I'll wake up with, ah, that's it. But then other times something will come more or less fully formed. And then I will, if it's an animation, I will start messing around with pictures. And a lot of times what happens really is that what I end up doing depends on the pictures, because they create the characters. They will sometimes create the mood or even the plot. So it varies. But before I started making films, for many years I wrote novels. And I wrote, among other things, whodunits. And so one of the things about writing a whodunit is that you write the ending first. So you know where you're going. You know who the killer is. You know how it was done. You write the ending first. And so a lot of times with my animation, I will or my short films, you know, they're not all animations. What I'll do is I'll write the ending first, and then I know where I'm going. So at least I know where it ends. And the problem sometimes is figuring out, how does this begin? but the thing is, if you have your ending first, it's very helpful.
Now I know. So what you're telling me, I should ask my end questions in my interview first?
Maybe.
I don't think I could do it, but I could try.
Yeah.
So your next one is, where has all the toilet paper gone? I guess you've answered the question in the first one. I mean, now we know where all the toilet paper is going. You have a great science fiction background. You love it. I know that for a fact. Is that where this comes from, this short?
Yeah, it was just a matter of, you know, it was a thing when there was no toilet paper to be found. Where has it gone? You know, because there was always toilet paper on the shelves. Why is there suddenly none? You know, there can't be people buying that many rolls of toilet paper, though I guess there were. And so I just thought, you know, well, they're leaving because the end of the world is nigh, a bit like in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where the dolphins all leave the Earth just before the end time. And so that's why I had all the toilet paper being beamed up in a spaceship, because it's the toilet paper is escaping the Earth because it's the end is coming. Oh, I hope you're okay. I cough a lot too, and every time I cough, I think this is it.
The season's changing here; it's going hot.
I know. Same here, you know. And I've been thinking, oh God, I'm going to cough during this, and he's going to be, oh, she's got it.
No, I think that with everybody, but I'm like, nope, it's the seasons. I'm used to it. It happens every year to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, I have a cough from October through June every year.
So do I.
So, yeah, so I've been coughing since forever, so I'm assuming I don't have it.
I don't have it either. They let me into work, so I figure I'm good.
Yeah.
So is this your direct sequel to the first one you sent me?
I guess, you know, I mean, or a variation on the same theme. What I did was for a couple of online screenings. I had a film that was going to be in the Dorking Film Festival. Dorking is a place, a suburb of London, basically. It's in Surrey. And that was supposed to have been on the 4th of April. And that was canceled. And so they emailed me and said, would I be willing to have my film online? And at that point, I had made the two toilet paper ones, and then the next one that you're going to talk about in a second. And so I said, well, rather than the one you were originally going to screen, would you like to screen a compilation of the three very recent ones I have done, which are basically addressing the reason why the film festival is now online? And so it's kind of, those three have become a bit of a trilogy. And I've put the three of them together as one piece called Three Topical Animations Made in March and April of 2020, or something like that. I don't remember exactly what I call it, but it's something like that. And I've put the three together, sort of edited, you know, with number one, number two, number three. And that's been included in a couple of online screenings recently. So, you know, it's, for once I am not waiting for film festivals, as in the ones where things actually get screened, because I don't know when there's going to be something like that again. So I'm actually making things public on YouTube as I make them, these new ones. The topical ones, anyway. The ones that aren't topical, I'll wait until there's, you know, proper screenings again, and you can have them on a big screen with an audience.
I actually ask you now before we get to the next one. Will you be attending these screenings, do you think?
Now, that depends. I mean, basically, there are a few festivals that are scheduled for the future. Will they actually go ahead? I don't know. And if they do go ahead, what is the situation going to be? I'm taking a wait and see attitude, you know, because as much as I would love to see everybody, I don't want to risk my life to do it. You know, I'm a coward that way. So
I don't know. I think you're being practical. I'm not sure I want to go to festivals anymore or even go to the theater. I'm looking at drive-in theater waiting for that to open.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, eventually this pandemic will die down and then these things will all be fine again. That's why I'm saying I'll wait and see what the situation is. If it's all sort of contained and there doesn't seem to be a spread anymore, then yeah, you know, but if you still feel like there's a good chance you're going to be infected with something if you go out, I will, you know, send my apologies and say I'll see you next year.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Now this definitely leads into your next short, your practical guide to social distancing.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to start off, before you go, you have an outside shot, which I never see from you. Usually everything is inside. I always feel we're inside something. So why did we go outside for a change?
Because the social distancing is a thing about don't go out. And if you're out, stay away from other people, you know. And so it was just a matter of the background there was a couple of still photos that I took in London Docklands, so, which is usually packed. And I happened to get a picture of the bit that's grassed over, and then there's some buildings in the background. That is actually over the Jubilee Line tube station on the Isle of Dogs. And then the other one is a street on the Isle of Dogs, which is all banks and most of the UK newspapers, I think, now have their offices in the Isle of Dogs. And that's where all you have your financial center of London these days. But it was a Sunday. And so I took pictures of the empty streets thinking, you know, maybe I'll use this as a background for something someday. And that was like a few years ago. And then suddenly it was like, ah, you know, people in London might recognize that this is the Isle of Dogs and you have, you know, an empty street and here's like one person. And they probably won't recognize the bit of grass that's, you know, on top of the Jubilee Line station. But, you know, they still know it's London and it's a park. So it'll work. But, yeah, it's just still photos. I mean, I didn't go on location to do anything.
I definitely feel in this shot you enjoy blowing things up.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can leave it there, really.
Yeah, I don't think you need to say anything much. I was watching, like, these people are going to get blown up. I know you too well, and I know you too, and I'm like, they're dead.
Yeah.
I thought it was hysterical. It made me laugh pretty hard, and I hope that's the reaction you're getting. I mean, do you get comments on your shorts when you put them online, or do you read the YouTube comments?
There's been a couple of very nice ones. You know, I don't get a lot. I mean, I'm one of those people that has about, you know, very few subscribers on YouTube, very few followers on social media, you know, so it's like I get the occasional handful of nice comments, you know, but, you know, the people who see them seem to like them, so that's nice. I don't worry about it too much because I do this because I like to do it. I'm not doing it for fame and fortune because that would be completely unrealistic. It's just do it because you like it. You know, I enjoy it. If other people enjoy what I do, that's brilliant. If they don't, nah. I just do it anyway.
Sounds like me. I don't. Yeah. Listen to me, they don't listen to me. Oh, well, move on with your day. I have fun with it. I enjoy meeting people. That's the way life goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever done a short that you finished or close to finishing? You're like, nope, this isn't working. Well, I'm starting over.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of false starts. You know, a lot of them are that thing where I had an idea for a mood or something, but I've got no plot to go with it. And I've done some things that visually I thought were really interesting, but I just couldn't think how to make any kind of sense. Now, that said, I have made a couple of things that have been screened as video art in galleries, and
I could see that.
Yeah, and the thing is, with them, I didn't worry so much about a plot. It was just interesting visuals, maybe accompanied by a bit of music. And I am no musician, but I have done some where I made the music myself, just sort of messing around with software. And then they were screened as video art, and that's fine. But, you know, with the video art ones even, I still tried to have a kind of a beginning, middle, and end. And I've got some bits and pieces that I love the look of, but I don't know how to string them together into any kind of beginning, middle, and end yet. I think the day will come when I will. It might be a matter of getting one of my musician friends to do some music for me that would string them together, because sometimes it's just the music that will make something seem cohesive. You know, the musical accompaniment can make something seem like a whole, while as it's silent, it just looks like some random images. So that's a possibility, because I've got a few things like that. And I've also got outtakes from things. Well, outtakes is the wrong word, because outtakes implies something went wrong. And it's not so much that they went wrong, it's just that I couldn't make them fit without making the film really long. And so you get rid of the stuff that is sort of making it too long and detracting from the main point. And so I've got some nice things I have shot that I couldn't make fit into something. But I keep thinking, oh, maybe that could be the starting off point for something else. And I have occasionally done that, where I've taken things I shot for one thing and then made them either the starting off point for something new, or just manage to incorporate them into something else. So, you know, it never goes to waste. It gets used eventually. It's just I don't always know when I'm going to use it. Sometimes it's a few years later.
So let's go back to that point. You have all this stuff used. You use a lot of skeletons and aliens, and I mean occasionally people, but I say you rely on skeletons and aliens. That's most of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the stuff that's edited mostly aliens and skeletons, or is it something we've never seen, like a bear?
Oh, gosh, that's a lot of it is like the few times when I've had people come around to the house and we've shot things in front of a green screen, I always end up shooting more than I can use. So a lot of it is people doing different characters and different things, you know, and then I didn't use all of it. So I've got a lot of films you haven't seen, because I didn't want to deluge you. You know, I mean, it's like I've got more than 80, you know, and so a lot of them, they do get used eventually. But I've got a lot of things where, I've got a deaf costume, and I've got a lot of footage of myself as deaf, which I have used for various things. And every now and again, if I need a deaf character, I can just dig out this old green screen footage of me in front of the green screen in the deaf costume, and I can insert it in any number of things, because I've got myself facing forward, facing backwards, facing sideways. You know, I do that a lot when I have people here as well. What I do is I'll get stuff for cutaways, where I will just say, well, okay, turn around, I just want a shot of the back of your head, or I want a shot of your profile this way, your profile that way, walk a few steps to the left, walk a few steps to the right, back, you know, walk towards me, walk away from me. And then, you know, how much of that I'm going to use in the finished thing, it depends, but then I've got these bits of extra footage that I can use. So if I want a crowd scene, for example, I've got loads of people I can fit into a crowd scene. Things like that. And the skeleton, I don't know if you can see behind me, I mean, that's the skeleton there. It's a thing I bought off the internet, and I've taken still pictures of that. put different wigs on it, different clothing, things like that, and made it into different characters, you know, stuff like that to animate. So the reason I have a lot of stuff with skeletons is because I've got a skeleton, so he gets used. And aliens, I don't know, it's just, the ones you happen to have seen, quite a few of them have aliens. It's not like I do loads and loads of alien stuff.
Okay. It's just the ones you want.
It's a few. It's a few, you know.
Okay.
Zombies. I mean, I've done a lot more zombies than you've seen. You know, and there's a load of things. Ghosts, all sorts.
So let's move on to Pixit Picasso.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was a music video I did for an actress that I met at a film festival, which she saw some of my films and asked if I would be, she said she wanted to be in one of my films sometime, and she mentioned that she was a singer-songwriter as well, and I said, well, I don't at the moment have any ideas for something for you to play a part as an actress, but if you would like, I'd be interested in having a go at doing music videos. And so she sent me the song and the lyrics, and she sent me loads of still photos of herself. I asked her to, and I turned her into all sorts of different characters from these still photos. And then I had her come around here one day, and she sang along in front of the green screen to the song, but about 70 or 80% of that music video is animation.
Yes.
Where I took still photos of her and I turned her into different characters. And then the day she came here, she put on a few different costumes, some of which I just took still photos of her in, turned them into animations, and then two or three of which I used bits of footage of her singing along with the song, and then put them in different backgrounds and so on. I should explain to people who haven't seen it, the basis of it was the title of the song was Pixie Picasso. And so what I thought that I would do is make her different artworks singing. So she's different paintings. I turned her into a statue, an art installation. I mean, a lot of it flashes by very quickly, so you wouldn't have even noticed it, you know, but there's all kinds of things where I use her over and over again. And I should probably give her a name check. Her name is Manoush Keftel, the woman whose song that is.
Moving along to your next music video, Can You Hear the Night? Is that the actual name of the song, or did you make that up, the title?
No, that's the name of the song, and that one is quite an interesting one, how that came about. I live in a suburb of South London, and I was walking down the street outside a shopping mall, and I saw two women busking. Is busking a word you know in North America?
It is. We use it.
Okay. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting, because though you see a lot of buskers, you don't usually see women busking. It's usually men. I think partly because, you know, it's on the street and, you know, things could get a bit rough. You have crazy people. You know, you have potential for problems. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. Two women busking. And I thought, oh, they don't sound bad. And so when they were in between songs, I went up and I said, I am a filmmaker, and I live not far away from here, and I'm interested in getting into making music videos. At this point, I hadn't made the other music video yet. And so I said to them, you know, would you be interested in a music video, just so I can have a go at doing it? And so I gave them my card. And the thing is, I have done this many times before, where I have given a musician my card and that I never hear from them. These two actually got in touch with me. Wow. And it was the first time somebody actually said yes. So I had them come around to the house. I thought to myself, I'm having strangers around to the house. Let us assume they are not axe murderers. And fortunately, they weren't. And so they came around. I asked them to send me a selection of songs so I could choose one. And I chose that one because the lyrics seemed like something that I could do something with without it being too difficult. Because one of their songs that was really good, it involved traveling around. It was about going to L.A., going to San Francisco, stuff like that. And I thought, well, I can't do that. I need backgrounds of L.A. and San Francisco and so on, which I don't have. And I thought that one, I could come up with some kind of a story for that would be something that I could actually do. And so I went for a science fiction theme again. And I did ask them, would it be okay with you if I did something science fictional? Because I know some people just hate science fiction, you know. And so I thought it was a possibility they might not like science fiction. So I said, would you object if I did something science fictional? And they were happy with that. And so what I went for with it was a kind of a Solaris sort of feel. Do you know Solaris, Tarkovsky, you know, where there's these...
I know the film, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing of just looking out the window of a spaceship, you know, and being alone. And so the thing is, though I had the two of them, I made it that one of them was on the ship basically they were both thinking back to their life on Earth. But I kind of made it ambiguous as to who was really on the ship and who was like the Solaris sort of character that is being imagined. So I sort of figured that since I had the one looking at pictures on several screens, that maybe she's the one who's really there and the other one is like a memory. But it could be the other way around. You know, I left it ambiguous purposely. Sure. And a friend of mine she's a ballerina. And she had always said she'd like to do something with me. And so I thought, well, I could have, you know, something in the background where there's a figure dancing, you know. And so she came around a different weekend and she just did some sort of ballet dancing in front of the green screen, and then I did different things with her. She's sort of a more abstract sort of shape in some of it, and then another, it's like she's a ballerina performing somewhere, and it's on a screen in the background, and stuff like that, you know. And anyway, the group, the two of them, they're called Phoenix Raven, and it's Julie Enever, who calls herself Jules Phoenix for the purposes of Phoenix Raven, and Remy Fedari, who her sort of performing name is Remy F. So I should give them a name check as well. But they said they were very happy with the video. So that was nice. That was my first attempt. And then the other one was my second, the Pixie Picasso one. But that was the one I did first.
Okay, do you want to do Dancing Macabre or do you want to do Legend of Helium Mary?
Whichever you're happy to do.
Well, I will do Dancing Macabre because it is music again, and then we'll go to Legend of Helium Mary. I think
that's brilliant.
Because let's discuss Dancing Macabre then. We're back to skeletons, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, skeletons and sort of corpses. You know, it was just sort of a thing of, you know, I've got the death costume. So use the thing. I've got it. Let's use it. And so I just sort of thought, well, what can I do with some spare footage that I had of myself in the death costume? And so I thought, well, and also, what music is public domain? Dance Macabre, public domain. And so I just thought, well, you know, I could do something fairly quick, though none of this is really quick. It's quick for me because I am the sort of lunatic who will sit in front of a computer for many, many hours straight, day after day after day, and do something. If I was a normal person who did not sit in front of a computer for 18 hours straight, these things would take ages.
Oh, God,
no. You know, it's just because when I get in the middle of something, I don't get up. That's why I've been forcing myself since lockdown to get up and move around, because my habit before that was just sit there forever. And so I made the animated characters that were all just sort of, corpses dancing. And then I had some pictures of skeletons. So I thought, use them. So I thought, oh, I'll have them singing. Why not? And so though there are no lyrics to Dance Macabre, I just had that same thing that I did with the toilet paper, where I changed the musical instruments to voices. So they're just sort of singing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I had them dancing and being accompanied on a piano by Death. And, of course, I do not play the piano and I do not have a piano. What it was is footage of me sitting on a stool, just sort of waving my arms around as if I was playing a piano. And then I took a still picture of a piano and in the video editor put that on top of me. So that you don't see what my hands are actually doing. And then it looks like I'm playing a piano. So that was that. But, you know, it was like a Halloween film, basically, you know, because it's Dance Macabre is all the song, or the piece of music, is basically about at Halloween midnight the dead are summoned to dance until dawn by Death, you know. So I just sort of did that, and I made it a lot shorter. I cut Dance Macabre down to like 3 minutes or so. The actual piece goes on and on and on. It's a wonderful piece, but I thought, you know, no plot, people are going to get bored, you know, so just sort of give them the idea and then sort of cut it short and then throw in a little gag at the end. Yeah, so that was that.
You have about 20 minutes, 4 left, and questions, just so you know how long we have left.
Oh, okay.
I like to tell you, because I know you'll talk for the full 20 minutes, no problems. Just want to tell you where we're at.
Okay.
Legend of Helium Mary. You got real people again. I always get shocked when I see real people in your stuff. And I mean, really real people.
I know. You wouldn't have believed that I would know any real people, would you? So that seems like so long ago now. It was this January at the Horror on Sea Film Festival, which is in Southend here in the UK. And it's something that they've been showing my films every year for the last several years. And I know a lot of people there. And it was when you could still be around people and it was fun and you weren't worried. And I had this idea about a few days before I was due to go to the festival. I thought, while I'm at the festival, why don't I make something at the festival with the people who are there? So I wrote a bit of dialogue, the bit for the paranormal investigators, so that they had something to say. And then I thought, the rest, I will just wing it when I get there. And so I did it all on my phone, because I can't carry things like a proper camera and equipment with me. So it was all, I had two phones with me. And so the stuff where the paranormal investigators are talking into the phone, that was like, I'd hand them my phone and I had them all do it in portrait mode, because that is what people who don't know how to do video always do, is they do things in portrait mode. So they're making a YouTube video where they are investigating this urban legend of Helium Mary, who is a woman, the legend goes, who died of a heart attack after being at a birthday party after being startled by a balloon. And so then what I did was I shot the stuff with them around the hotel where they actually have the festival. And then I just went around and asked people if they'd like to be in this. And most of the people in it are other filmmakers.
Uh-huh.
And I basically, I just said, well, say something like this. And I tell them what to say. And so I got all these people to say things. So like one of the jokes, it's all in jokes because of the people who go to Horror on Sea will all recognize everybody. So like the guy who talks about his favorite film being a French New Wave film, he's well known for making slasher films.
Oh.
And so that was like the joke that the guy who makes slasher films is talking about French New Wave, you know, and stuff like that, because I thought that would be funny. And I was basically telling people what to say, though some improvised as well. You know, I said, well, just say something, you know. And so that's another one that what I will do. Now, this is going to sound like I am reading out in memoriam, you know, like where there's been a ship gone down at sea and I'm reading off the names of the dead. But just because I never pay anybody, I will read off the names of the people who took part. Dong, Tom Lee Rutter. Dong, I'll stop doing the tolling bell. Ben Manning, Pablo Raybald, Cy Henty, Michaela Hunt, Danny Thompson, MJ Dixon, Anna Dixon, Martin W. Payne, Liza Keast, Guy Douglas, Derek Nelson, Charlie Steeds, Philip Rogers, Michael Fausti, Singh Lal, Nikki Cornish, David Whedon, Murray Binfield, Vonda Noyce, Stephen Podgorny, Tony Marden, Paul Cockgrove, there's more, Pat Higgins, David Fox, Debbie Fox, Kirsty Tomlin, Steve Tomlin, Lou Nosbaud, me, Jerome Rahui, and the music was done by Peter Lewington. And we would like to remember all of them now. So, anyway, I never pay anybody. I always say I'll give them a name check. So that's the name check.
Well, there you go. Now they can have to come and find it on this. Perfect. Thank you for that. Now, I want to go to the next one. Is Snake Charmer, which is my favorite. Not my favorite, but second on my list.
Oh, brilliant.
I thought this was brilliant. I thought it worked perfectly. I laughed. I thought it was so well done.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
So I love the little moustache was making me, killing me laughing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was just sort of what I was doing, was parodying the sort of woman in peril romantic thriller, you know, where a woman gets romantically involved with someone who seems very charming, but are they a killer? And so I just sort of did one episode, because you know how these things go. You don't have to do the whole series.
Oh, definitely not. I like this one, though. I thought this was very cute.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so basically I should explain to people who haven't seen it. It's called Snake Charmer, and the male character is actually a snake, but nobody realizes it because he's got like a little mustache and a monocle, and I told the guy, Cy Henty, who did the voice, I told him to do sort of a young Terry Thomas or Leslie Phillips type of voice, you know, that sort of very posh sort of, you know, but flirtatious and very charming sort of oily character that a woman should not get involved with. So that was fun.
I love how they escape the zoo.
Oh, yes. It was, so again, it's that thing of, you know, where you find out that the romantic character is actually like, he's been in prison or something like that. In this case, it was that he had escaped from the Bronx Zoo. So he wasn't even English. And then I did the voice for his wife, because it turns out he's married. And she's escaped from the zoo, and she breaks into the heroine's flat by coming up through the drain pipe. So it's stuff like that. It's a fun film. And a guy named David Fisher did the voice of the announcer for that. And he also did the original music, which I thought he did a wonderful job on the music for that.
Okay, moving along. Meanwhile in Scotland.
Oh, no, it's Southend. Meanwhile in Southend.
Oh, did I?
Oh, yeah, that's
you're
okay.
Right. I wrote down the wrong thing. You're right.
No, that's fine. Anyway, yeah, that was in the...
At least you know what you created.
Well, someone has to. Maybe the only person in the world who does. But, yeah, that was just some... You see, Southend is where a lot of the... A couple of the film festivals that I go to regularly. One is Horror on Sea, which is where I made The Legend of Helium Mary, and I've been going every year for several years. And then there is the Southend Film Festival, which is run by the same people. A guy named Paul Cockgrove runs both of them. And so when I was in Southend for the Southend Film Festival one year, what I did was I took some still pictures of a fountain in front of the Civic Center in Southend. And I thought these would make interesting characters to do something with in an animation, because it's a group of statues that are in a circle around this fountain. So I took the still pictures, and then I thought, oh, I know I could have them sing. When in doubt, I have them sing. You know, it's just always my go-to thing if I can't think of anything else. And so I found a bit of music from a stock footage site. And I just basically, it's a very quick thing, a minute and a half long, of these statues that everybody in Southend knows singing. And so I sent it to the Southend Film Festival. And because everybody in Southend knows these statues, they went mad. Yeah. It was in the closing gala, and it's just that thing of they recognized it. They knew the statues, and so they just loved it. I have never in my life had such an audience reaction. I've had some very nice audience reactions, but this was the biggest ever, and it was just because they knew those statues. It's as simple as recognition, you know, which is why the Helium Mary film, which, you know, the intention is for that to be screened at Horror on Sea, where everybody is going to recognize everybody in that film. You know, what I am thinking and hoping is that it's the recognition. They're just going to love it because they all recognize each other. They recognize themselves. They recognize the hotel, you know. And it was the same thing in Southend. And I was so relieved because I thought, oh, this is just a silly little thing. Nobody's going to like this. And then they went insane. So that was really nice.
That's awesome. Now we're going to – I left a little bit of time for the morning, but I think you knew that was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
This is brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I want to start. Where did this idea come from? Were you spending too much time at home watching TV?
Well, I guess. I mean, you know, there's daytime television, and there's a particular program here called This Morning, which is like morning as opposed to afternoon. And I thought that I could turn it into a horror thing if I just added a U to morning. And then I thought, well, basically, all I have to do is just, it's a show for the dead by the dead. So the idea is that what you did in life, you continue to do after you're dead. So if you were a television presenter, when you were alive, you continued doing it after you're dead. And if you used to watch that kind of thing when you were alive, you watch the version for the dead after you're dead. So everybody's just doing what they did in life. And it's just, I didn't really have to parody anything. I just did it exactly like the TV show would be, but just made it from the point of view that everybody's dead.
The Dead Woman Show was hysterical.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks. And then, you know, to give it a little bit of a plot, then I had sort of a framing thing where the final character, there's a phone in. Because this particular
ball show. Which is, I wanted to get to last, but we can go there. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, there's, well, no, I mean, you go ahead with the order you wanted to do.
Oh, it's so fun. Chris, I just like the comment. So, what's going on? And they're phoning in. And I was dying laughing. Where did you get these ideas? Like, you got your friends to phone you and record them? Like, this is so smart.
Yeah, well, it was just a matter of people I know who are able to record their voices remotely. You know, I sent them lines to say, and then they recorded them. Some of them have proper recording equipment. A lot of it just did it on their phones. And, you know, then I animated them. And a lot of them, actually, what I did was I took photographs of them and then messed around with them.
Okay.
So that they looked not really like themselves, but the agony aunt, the elderly lady, who's, that was a picture of me. And what I did was I put it through some software where I made myself look old, you know, older anyway, and gave myself gray hair and, you know, different things like that. And so a lot of them where people are doing different voices, what I did was I took pictures of them and made them not look like themselves, but then it's actually their face as they're doing the character with several of them, not all of them, but quite a few.
I mean, I love the line, purgatory is real life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, it was just basically, there's a thing here, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, where they go to the Australian outback, and it's basically celebrities that are sort of, their career needs a reboot.
They need money.
Yeah. And so I did a thing where people are in purgatory, and it's a thing of, you know, who's the last to be left in purgatory is the winner. So stuff like that, you know, it was just taking things and just doing them as they really are. You know, I didn't even have to parody them. I just did it exactly as it would be in real life, but from the point of view that they're all dead.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, before you go, you get your fun questions.
Oh, okay.
I know you've prepped. The first film you ever can remember seeing.
Okay, first one I remember seeing is The Mouse That Roared, which starred Peter Sellers playing several different roles. And do you know that film?
No.
Ah, it's, look it up. It's really funny. It's a small country called the Duchy of Grand Fenwick. And they need money, so what they do is they decide to declare war on the United States with the idea that the United States will defeat them and then give them all kinds of foreign aid to rebuild their country. But what happens is they send Peter Sellers to be in charge of the invasion, and they win because they accidentally turn up at a time when there's some kind of it was made during the Cold War, and there's some kind of a drill where everybody is inside, and they arrive in America. The streets are empty, very much like lockdown these days. And so they basically, by accident, they capture this U.S. general and this bomb called the Q-bomb. And so they win. And so it's a really good film.
Okay, I'll have to see it.
First one I ever saw.
Last film you saw in the theater?
God, in the theater.
Only 2 months ago, probably.
Yeah. Let me think, because I've seen a few. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you which some of the films that I saw at a film festival.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I saw there's a one called Cleavers. Killer Clowns. So it's Cleavers, Killer Clowns.
I would watch that in a second.
Yeah, and I'm in it. That's why I saw it. I play a cameo as a an evil waitress. So I'm a villain. So I'm hoping that if they do a sequel, that my character will come back, because I'm in cahoots with the evil clown.
Oh, cool.
And so, therefore, I don't die. So no. I figure it's possible, you know, if there's a sequel. I keep saying to the people who made it, because I know them, if you ever make a sequel, so we'll see. But that one, I recommend. You can get that on DVD now in North America. And I think it's also on Amazon Prime.
Okay, last question. Next film you're going to see in the theater.
I do not know. I just, because I don't know when I'm going to go to a movie theater again. I suspect it's going to be a while, you know, but I look forward to seeing many, you know, when the day comes when I feel safe to go and sit next to strangers in a cinema. I'm really looking forward to it. I will watch everything. I will go to every single film.
Tell everybody where they can find your work, as always.
Well, most of my stuff is not public on the internet, but my recent topical ones are. And on YouTube, I'm user Molly Brains, MollyBrainz. In North America, you'd say Z. So it's like the zombie sort of brains, Molly Brains. And I'm also Molly Brains on Twitter. So you can, if you feel so inclined, you could follow me on Twitter and see when I have things screened and so on.
Thank you for your time. You're always lovely. I hope you come back again soon.
Oh, thanks very much. You know, it's been exactly 2 years since you last interviewed me.
2 years?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's 1 year and 11 months.
Wow, I'm impressed. You remember? I don't know. I remember interviewing you. I do remember. So that's good. Well, come back more often. You know how to get a hold of me.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. It's been loads of fun.
Okay,
great seeing you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.